Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 3 of our Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here, and today it's a topic that I get asked about all the time through my social media and email accounts. I'm always asked, how can I make reading fun for my students? How can I keep them engaged when I'm telling a story? How do I make story time more fun for them? And this can be true for mainstream students as well, because a lot of our children struggle with paying attention for long periods of time, especially when they're having to focus on one book at the front of the class with the teacher and surrounded by all their peers. So first, I'm going to discuss some barriers that you may be facing when trying to get your students engaged and having fun with books and listening to stories. First, look at where you're doing it. My students absolutely hate sitting on the floor or carpet area by the whiteboard, so we mixed up our stories. We broke them down into two separate types, which we have in two different areas. The first type is our nursery rhyme stories, and these take place in our soft playroom. The second type is our general picture book stories, but we don't just read them from a book, oh no. I make these stories interactive and sensory. I make them fun. I get the students involved in the story, and that's what keeps them engaged. With our nursery rhymes, our soft playroom is perfect. The children spread out and they get comfy on the beanbags and soft chairs. And for our interactive stories, we sit around the interactive whiteboard on our usual chairs. The second barrier you may be facing is attention. It's no good throwing your students into a 50-page book as soon as they start with you. You need to start small and work your way up. Typically, at the start of the year, we start with just the nursery rhymes. These are quick and they last between 5 and 10 minutes to start in the soft playroom. We also have timers on show and we have visual symbols of which nursery rhymes we'll be doing on a mini timeline. This is a visual support for my students where they can see how long they're sitting for and how many nursery rhymes they're going to be reading or listening to. As your students get used to taking part in this activity and having fun, their attention span will get longer. They'll be able to sit for longer and take part in the activity for a longer period of time. Once you have this, that's when you can set up your interactive stories, because these do go on for a longer period of time. Set targets for your students too. You may even split the story in two at first if you think it's too long for your students. So you could do one half of the story before break time and the other half after it. Just bear in mind if you have any students who couldn't cope with this. I personally don't do this because I have students who have to finish something before they can move on to the next activity, even if it's going out to play. But it's all about knowing your students and what you think will work best for them. What I will say is if you make the story as interactive and as fun as I do, your students will surprise you with how long they can sit and attend to the story for. The third barrier could be where they don't understand what's happening. They may not be able to process what you're saying as fast as you're reading. They can't really see the pictures clearly from their seat. And after the first page, they're lost. They have no idea what the story is about or what you're saying. Talking fast is something we all tend to do a lot of, and I'm guilty for this too. And in story time, we can get caught up and start reading parts faster than others. Remember about giving your students processing time. This is another reason that I love the interactive stories that I do, and I'll be talking more in depth about this later on in the podcast. So the fourth and final barrier that I'm going to share with you today is interests. When you're choosing a book to use for story time, make sure it aligns with your students' interests and level of understanding. Don't choose books that you like. Don't choose books that your students last year liked. Don't choose books that the curriculum says your students will like. Choose books your students will actually like. Choose books that they seem drawn to in the classroom library. Choose books that you think are appropriate for their level of understanding. There's so many fantastic picture books out there, and one of my guilty pleasures when I'm planning for my next topic is to stock up on picture books. What I will say, when I use these interactive storybooks, I only use two per term. You can use just one if you like. My students like repetition. Throwing them a new story every week would throw off all our interactive story sessions. But by repeating the story each week at the same time, my students get to understand the story more. They connect with it more, and it's so lovely to see the excitement on their faces when they get to a certain part of the story. So now that we've discussed the barriers, I'm going to talk to you about the nursery rhyme sessions that I have in my classroom. Like I mentioned briefly earlier, we hold these in our soft playroom, and I know how lucky we are to have a soft playroom in our class, and not everyone has one of these, but it's perfect for my students. My students are aged between 3 and 7, and they love having this soft playroom to go to. It's also a fantastic place for them to go and have some space and calm themselves down if they need to. Every day, just before lunch, we have our nursery rhyme session in the soft playroom. We do it before lunch because it's just a nice way to end the morning. The children are relaxed in here and it's only a small session. It started off being just one nursery rhyme, and as the children progressed with their attention skills, we upped it. And now we do between 3 and 5 nursery rhymes every day. This depends on how much time we have and how our students are doing in the particular session. Sometimes they could probably do all the way up to 10 different nursery rhymes, and then other times 3 is that magic number. I think one of the most important parts of our teaching journey is to remember to be flexible, and what worked yesterday won't always work today. So if your students are getting restless, but you've scheduled 15 minutes for this nursery rhyme session and they've only lasted 5, that's okay. Do something else. Pull out some bubbles in the soft play area or play with your students with different items around you. When we're in this room for our nursery rhyme session, I always have a member of staff back in the classroom tidying up, preparing for lunch and getting ready for our next session. It's perfect to help me manage the day. For nursery rhymes, we have one member of staff leading the session. And in our class, we have our teaching assistants in charge of different sessions too. This is great for them to work on their performance management and also with their own careers to progress and climb the ladder. For each nursery rhyme, I've created an interactive poster that the children take part with throughout the rhyme. For example, one of our favourites at the moment is 5 Little Monkeys on the Bed. So I've printed out a poster of a bedroom with a bed on it, and then I Velcro 5 little monkeys onto the bed. And as we sing the rhyme, when a monkey falls off the bed, a student gets chosen to pick up a monkey, jump it on the bed, and then it falls off. It makes the session more interactive and hands-on for them. And they love being able to come up and take part in the nursery rhyme. It just makes it that little bit more meaningful for them. It also means they're not just sitting there, looking at pages in a book. They're actually taking part in the lesson and the nursery rhyme, which makes it more engaging for them. And the more engaging it is, the longer they'll last in the session. Some of our other favourite nursery rhymes that we do are Hickory Dickory Dock, 5 Little Speckled Frogs, 5 Little Ducks, and 10 Little Astronauts. I don't know if the astronaut one is a real one or one that we made up during our space week, but my students love it. They go crazy for that one. The only downside of a podcast is I can't show you guys these nursery rhyme activities, and I wish I could. These are something I may share with you all on my YouTube channel or Instagram stories. If you want to see them in action, send me a message. If I know people are interested in seeing them, I'll put together a video for you all to see them. So next, I'm going to discuss my interactive sensory stories. And in my planning, I do call them sensory stories. Everyone who comes to visit our class and sees this session in action loves it. And they're always asking me, how can I put this into practice in my classroom? How can I do this with my students? So our recent stories have been Superkid, the BFG, and Walking Through London. My students have loved every single one of them, and I can't wait to plan for our next topic. Now, these sensory stories are going to be a little hard to explain over a podcast, but I can't visually show you how I do them. Again, if there's enough interest, I'll do a YouTube video on this. Just send me an email, and if enough people want to see them, I'll video one of the stories and you can see the way that I run the session and the different items that I use. So today I'm going to share my sensory story of Superkid with you guys, because this one was just so much fun for us and my children loved the book. It's an absolutely adorable book with with so many fantastic illustrations, and it's by Sarah McIntyre. You can find it in most bookstores or on Amazon, and I'll link to it in my show notes on the website so you can get a direct link to it too. Super Kid is all about a little boy in class who has superpowers. My students love everything about superheroes, and our topic at the time was just that, superheroes. So I knew this book would be perfect to turn into a sensory story. First things first, when I decide what book I'm going to do a sensory story for, I scan all the images onto my computer and put each page as an individual PowerPoint slide. Then I reduce the words that are on the page into smaller sentences that are easier for my students to understand. I use my symbol program, Smarty Symbols is my favorite, and I add symbols to the relevant keywords. This makes the pages easier for my students to understand, and they don't just have the image of the book page to look at, but also the symbols, which help explain what's happening. When I'm reading the story, this is put up onto the interactive whiteboard, and my students are sat in a small semicircle in front of it. There's enough room between the whiteboard and them for me to walk around and take part in the story with them. Once I've done this, I brainstorm for each of the pages in the book. I might not make every page interactive, but I'll make most of them interactive to keep my students engaged and excited for what's coming up. So I'm going to discuss the book with you now and the way that I make this story interactive and sensory friendly. The first page is, there's a boy who seems quite ordinary. He looks like me or you, but in secret he is Super Kid and there's nothing he can't do. So for this page, I had a superhero soft teddy. My students passed this around the circle and everyone had a look at Super Kid. What I didn't tell you is, for this teddy, we took the children on a class trip to a Build-A-Best store. My students all got to choose which bear we were going to have. Then we chose a superhero outfit to dress the bear up in. So already we're connecting something that we've done previously on our trip to this story. So they know that they can go shopping for things they're going to use. It just makes it a little bit more meaningful for them. The second page is, behind his glasses, X-ray eyes can spot a child in trouble when he changes in a flash to help them at the double. For this one, my students had an absolute ball. Have you ever seen those giant glasses that are usually used for fancy dress or photo booths? That's what I handed to my students. They had so much fun with the giant glasses and looking around at each other. The third page is, if bullies pinch your bubblegum as you go out to play, whoosh! Super Kid comes flying. Yes, he's here to save the day. For this one, we blew bubbles that smelt like candy floss. I know it's not exactly bubblegum, but the children had so much fun and the smell of the bubbles really added something extra sensory to the experience. The fourth page is, he blows a giant bubble and the kids stick to its side. Then puff, he blows it in the air and off those bullies ride. So we just continued to blow bubbles as I read this page. What I will add is, if you want, you can have a member of staff reading the story and another member of staff passing around the interactive pieces to take place at the same time. So this will minimize waiting time for students. My children are happy to listen to me read to the page and then have the interaction after it, but your students may not cope with that. So just do what you think will work best for them. The next page, this was my favorite. It was hilarious. So it says, when you're having tea at auntie's, but it's all the food you hate, and auntie says, more broccoli, and puts it on your plate. So we cooked broccoli and we passed it around the children. So some smelt it, some licked it, and some tasted it. Don't ever force them into eating it. Let them do what they feel comfortable with. I've always worked like this, and in the end, it can lead to great results where your students are more willing to independently taste the foods that are on offer to them. Whatever action they complete, we make sure to give lots of praise because this is a huge thing for many of our students. The next page. Zap! Super Kid comes whizzing, and before Auntie sees, he eats the dreaded broccoli and horrid mushy peas. So for this, I cut out a superhero with an open mouth and attached it to a cereal box. I walked around the circle with the box and a bowl of pretend food broccoli and peas. Student fed these to the superhero by pushing them through his mouth and into the empty cereal box. So the next page, I didn't add any interaction, but it says, there's a great film on one evening that you really must not miss, but your mum says no more watching until you've tidied all of this. And the next page, Then Super Kid appears, and wow, before you can say Zoom, poor Mum is almost fainting. Surely this can't be your room. We didn't add any interaction for this page. It's one of those that I didn't really feel that my students could do anything engaging. If you really want to make every page interactive, maybe having a dustpan and brush and they pretend to clean their room between the two pages. So next. But what if you're out with a friend and meet a pirate crew who say we're on a treasure hunt, there's room on board for you. So for this, we passed around pirate hats and hooks for the students to try on. They had so much fun dressing up as pirates. The next page. But then, they make you walk the plank. Yikes! In the churning sea, swim hungry, snapping sharks. They laugh. We'll eat you for our tea. So we had inflatable blow-up sharks here, and staff ran around the circle all around the children. The children thought this was hilarious. I don't know if it was the fact that we had inflatable sharks or that they were watching their teachers and teaching assistants run around the room with inflatable sharks snapping. So the next page. Splash! Super Kid can see your plight. He rescues you, then thwack! He sorts those evil pirates out and flies you safely back. So we have one of those squirty bottles for this, and we sprayed water really lightly, like a mist, way above the students' heads. So it was like the water splashing as Super Kid saved the day. The children loved this part too. They were all squealing with delight as the water splashed all over them. And the final page. So when you're with your friends at school, watch carefully what they do. You might just find the Super Kid is sitting next to you. So for this part, I went onto eBay and I bought some cheap superhero capes and masks. I handed one set out to every student and they all got to dress like a superhero. So this may feel like a long session, but it's so engaging and fun that students honestly won't even realize how long they've been sitting for. And if you have a particular student that really can't sit for that long, sit them on the edge of the circle. Let them come and go so long as they're quiet and not distracting the others. The more they come back and see how much fun everyone's having, the more likely they'll be to want to stay for longer. And what I will say is these sensory stories are as fun and interactive as you make them. If you read them with a dull, monotone voice that shows you're not really interested, your students aren't going to be interested either. Make it fun and exciting. Sound out all the fun sounds that are going on. Your students will love it even more. I hope you found this podcast episode on making stories fun helpful for you and your students. These tips don't just need to be used by teachers in the classroom. You can use them in your homeschool environment, if you're a therapist, or even if you're a parent looking for fun ways to make reading engaging and fun for your child at home. If you want to see me do a YouTube video or go live on Instagram to see how I actually complete these nursery rhymes and sensory story activities, send me an email at contact@teachingautism.co.uk. or send me a message on social media. If you guys really want to see them, I'll get them filmed and uploaded for you. Thank you for listening. I've had so many of you reach out to say my podcast has already been so helpful for you. And that's what my goal is. I want to be able to help as many people as I can. So if you think you have any friends or co-workers that may benefit from this podcast, please share it with them. If you have a particular question or a burning subject that you really want to talk about, send me an email or find me on social media and I'll try put a podcast together for you. Thank you for listening and I'll speak to you soon.